Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of May 6th, 2019. So in Massachusetts, in New England in general, there have been many efforts to build pipelines over the last 2 or 3 years because of the famous fracking technology that's been developed over the last decade. And one of the consequences of the fracking technology that gives us all this terrible natural gas is the idea that we should build more pipelines to carry that natural gas into urban centers, and in fact, through urban centers. Turns out that here in Massachusetts, there is an effort to build something called the Atlantic Bridge Pipeline, which would go from just south of New York, would pick up natural gas from Pennsylvania, carry it up through Connecticut, Rhode Island, and up into a town in Massachusetts called Weymouth, which is just south of Boston. So Weymouth is a beautiful community right on the Massachusetts Bay. It's a dense community, and the idea that the pipeline company has, which I think is called Enbridge, is to put what's called a compressor station right in the big middle of everything in downtown Weymouth at a place called the Four River Bridge. So if you watch, if you ever drive up Route 93, you see signs for Four River Bridge. You hear it on the newscast all the time as a traffic site. Four River Bridge is busy, 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 busy place. This company wants to put in a compressor station. So what does a compressor station do? A compressor station takes what amounts to huge volumes of natural gas, millions of cubic feet of natural gas, and repressurizes it, squeezes it back into a high-pressure situation so that the gas will continue to flow on up to Canada. God knows what they're going to do with it all up in Canada, but there you go. They want to compress the natural gas in Weymouth so they can push it up into Canada on a continuation of the pipeline. Of course, a compressor station in the middle of downtown Weymouth is a bad deal for a lot of reasons we'll go into. And in fact, what we have with us today is a concerned parent, a concerned resident who lives in Weymouth, Ms. Andrea Honore. How are you doing, Andrea?
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, it's great. So I just told a little story about a town called Weymouth, which has a history that goes back at least as far as John Adams, right? Weymouth has been around since colonial times and has quite a history. So did I tell a story about the pipeline more or less correctly?
Yes. Part of the insanity of this pipeline is that Connecticut and Massachusetts are going to share about 20%, well, 18 to 20% of the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to go to electric generators. One electric generator in Massachusetts and I think about three in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're going to get a tiny fraction of the gas. It's going to go to the plant in Everett that's due to be decommissioned in 2024, as far as I know.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, basically, this compressor in the smallest plot of land ever proposed, it's a gas transmission compressor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also in the most densely populated area that's ever been proposed. So basically, if this goes into Weymouth, it can go in. It'll set precedent.
It will be able
to go in everywhere. So it's not only important for us that we keep this out because of the danger. And it's actually not in downtown Weymouth so much. It's right up next to Quincy, and it's on the water, in the mouth of the Four River Bridge, and it would affect Quincy, Braintree, Weymouth and Hingham actually. So yeah, it's just bad news.
And tell me, it's my understanding the actual physical site that they're going to build this compressor plant on, as you say, it's right next to the Four River Bridge, which is heavily trafficked, but it's also built on reclaimed land, right?
Yes.
The next big hurricane that comes through, the whole thing's going to flood probably, right?
Oh yes, of course. I mean, not only is the land there historically toxic?
Oh, yeah.
It shouldn't be touched, much less, they want to put in, they're like, oh, well, we can handle the climate change thing, and the flooding, we'll just put it on stilts. I've never seen a gas compressor on stilts, but that means going down into the ground. There's, oil, toxic, everything you can imagine, and coal ash and everything. So,
I mean, there's 200 years of industrial history sitting there along,
yes.
and so there's all kinds of stuff that they want to go churn
It's
up to build.
horrible.
Wow. And this again, I misspeak when I say it's downtown Weymouth, but it's in a fairly densely populated
Oh,
area, right?
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Very densely populated.
So this is going to be a big sort of, I imagine, some kind of a brick industrial looking building. And again, this is a compressor station in the city of Weymouth. And one of the things that compressor stations do, to my understanding, is that occasionally they need to have what's called periodic maintenance, just like you're going to have the oil changed on your car or you paint your house, you do periodic maintenance. Every couple times a year, they have to do what's called a blowdown, which is essentially stop the flow of natural gas in the pipe, and basically exhaust all of the gas that's in the compressor station up through the chimney, and basically dump huge amounts of natural gas into Weymouth. Is that, I mean,
Yes.
is that the case?
Yes, it would be unburned methane, which is 86 times worse than burning coal for the environment. And it will just be vented straight out into the air, right over people's homes. There's frequently an inversion layer over that area as well, and so it would really sock it right into people.
And this is just like natural, this is like turning on the stove in your kitchen and walking away for a few hours, right? You're just pumping out pure natural gas.
No, because the stove, it's that gas has been ignited. That is burning gas. This would be unburned methane.
Oh, the stinky,
So
stinky methane.
well, the I think it's called mercaptan is added to the gas because the gas doesn't have smell. So the mercaptan is added, and that's the smell that you smell where you go, oh my gosh, I smell gas. Otherwise we wouldn't even know it was there. But these blowdowns also, the companies will say, oh, we'll only do maybe like one a year, whatever. But then, people who live around these things, oftentimes, it could be once a month, it could be
Really?
six times a year, and it sounds like a jet engine going off. Now, what can you imagine all the points of ignition when you've got at least 1,000 residences within, what is it, a 2 mile radius, plus all of the cars? I think there are about 33, oh God, what was the total? It might have been like 33,000 cars a day pass over that. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. And it's at the base of the Four River Bridge that cost about $250 million. It's been done, it's been complete for about 2 years now, and Charlie Baker, Governor Baker, has not come to Weymouth because he doesn't want to celebrate the opening
Oh,
of the Four River
really?
Bridge because he wants to avoid all of us completely.
So that sets up, so let's just say there's a bit of tension between the town of Weymouth and the governor of Massachusetts, right? Governor Baker let me just say, correct me if I'm wrong, basically supports the construction of the compressor station, or is at least benignly smiling at things that are happening. And refuses to visit Weymouth. In this case, is avoiding the town because he knows if he went there, he'd get an earful, right? Is that the fair
Oh
statement?
yeah, I mean, true. We give him an earful anyway, but I don't think he likes to be in the same room as the earful. What's interesting about this is once the air permit was issued January 11th of this year, the mayors of Quincy, Braintree, and Weymouth, they have all been friendly or are, quite friendly with Charlie Baker. And they've had to now come out and criticize him publicly. And, that makes, for some awkward stuff, but it's like, it doesn't matter to Governor Baker that it doesn't seem to matter. And he has said, I'm neither for, pardon me, through his constituent services. And this was in 2017. He says, I'm neither for nor against the compressor. And my thing is, and I always say this. I always say these two things. I forgot the source, and I'll have to look it up later. But you can't be neutral on a moving train. He tries to be neutral on everything. And this train is heading somewhere, and it's heading towards handing Enbridge this compressor because of what's been going on with DEP and their permitting lack of process and things like that.
I mean, my naive political assessment of the governor is that he thinks he can negotiate with the physics of things, that somehow he give everybody, you know, if he avoids and dodges, he won't get caught. And as you say, this thing's happening, and he's going to get caught eventually.
So, well, you know, he's not getting caught as much as, at least these past couple of weeks, as, you know, people who are working under him. If he never came out and said, I am against this compressor or I am for this compressor, if he never said anything publicly, fine. You know, we'd all deal with that. But he can sense, you know, smoke signals, you know, send a carrier pigeon, like, I don't even know, to say,
a raven,
you guys follow the law. There are laws that would prohibit a gas transmission compressor from being built on that site. There are many laws.
And there's so many points here that you're right. Yeah. There's such this huge story. The rules about constructing a compressor in this particular site have only gotten as far as it has because of a distortion of what I would call a misinterpretation of what's called rural areas, right? I think, right? There's all a bunch of rules about where the where a plant can be put, and those have been twisted so that they can force this compressor station into Weymouth. So look,
Well, yes, and here's the funny thing, because I'm in the weeds with this, and just be so happy that you're not so much in the weeds with this, but the company that created the resource reports and created what I'm starting to think of as a mythology about, you know, this site and about, you know, everything to do with this project, the company that wrote all this stuff that the federal government used, that FERC used to create their environmental assessment, is a company out of Massachusetts called TRC. And Massachusetts Secretary of Environmental, Energy and Environmental Affairs, Secretary Beaton, who just left his post to go work for TRC.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That seems like it does not pass the sniff test, right?
It doesn't. Even before, I mean, of all the companies in the world, was it the Casablanca thing? Of all the bars in the world, she had to walk into mine. Of all the companies in the entire world, he had to go there. The amount of lying that has been done by TRC, and it has been caught out, you know, like they're saying that the site has historic fill. No, it has coal ash.
It is
verifiably coal ash. You know, people have satellite photos, you know, people who, you know, what a GIS context, they have satellite photos of the coal plant putting, you know, on the bed over to that site.
Really? Well, I think the question of I mean, there's been a lot of involvement. I mean, FERC has approved this now 2 years ago, and then there was a Massachusetts health permit. Can you tell me, not to put you on the spot, but is my understanding that Massachusetts released an approval, and Governor Baker said he was essentially forced to approve the Weymouth compressor. And subsequent to that, the people in Weymouth demanded a health impact assessment, right? Is that the sequence of things?
No, it's complicated. I'll basically, the state in, what was it, the beginning of 2017 had an opportunity to file with FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, you know, a kind of like an appeal or a request for rehearing on the conditional certification that FERC had issued, saying, look, you can build this thing. And by the way, a certificate of abandonment, meaning you can abandon this and you don't have to clean it up or do anything,
really?
Which is always fun. Oh, yeah. That was a new thing for me. So if you get all the state permits, we're going to go ahead and say thumbs up on this compressor from the federal government side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So all that happened. And then, so, you know, everybody who's fighting the compressor is filing these requests for rehearings. And the Energy Facility Siting Board for Massachusetts had so many issues. It's actually the best rundown of anything I've seen from any Massachusetts agency.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, gosh, back in 2015, I think,
mm-hmm.
2016. They could have easily copied and pasted everything they ever wrote about this project and just sent it to FERC.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that never happened. So this is going to kind of seg into when I first started sitting in the governor's office. But so I started sitting for 82 days until it became so uncomfortable for Governor Baker to continue to take no action. He took action and called for a health impact assessment.
Okay.
And then he called for, I think it's a public safety sort of evaluation. And there was another one, public safety and a coastal resiliency
mm-hmm.
study. Now, out of those three things that he called for in July of 2017, only one of them has been done, and it was the health impact assessment, which was a complete sham. It used Enbridge's numbers, and Enbridge's data, which, by the way, the design of the compressor continues to change constantly. And I don't know about you, but if, you know, you submitted to a government body that you were going to add a room under your house, and you got it approved, and then you just were like, you know, maybe we're going to do this or go up, and then you never had to resubmit.
Uh-huh.
You know,
uh-huh.
It's like that doesn't seem to apply to gas companies. They never have to resubmit no matter how many times they change a design.
Well,
the
health impact assessment, my understanding that health impact, one of the things in the health impact assessment was air quality. And the...
Mm-hmm. You use Enbridge's numbers, which they did, the people involved in the health impact assessment were Mass DEP, Department of Environmental Protection, the Department of Public Health, and the Metropolitan Area Planning Council,
mm-hmm.
or commission, or it's MAPC.
Right.
MAPC kind of was a facilitator for all of this. They pulled data from Enbridge's numbers, and this isn't Enbridge's first rodeo. You know, they know how to produce numbers with nobody double checks, by the way,
mm-hmm.
anywhere
mm-hmm.
along the up from federal on down, in order to say, oh, well, this won't exceed any levels. This won't.
Just so that people, we stay grounded in what we're talking
yeah.
about, Enbridge basically would take a canister into the middle of the Four River Bridge near where the compressor site would be and seal a jar like they're catching fireflies, right? And they have a jar
that
of air.
That's DEP's job.
Okay, but somebody is capturing that air and then analyzing
yeah.
it, right? And that
yeah.
the content of that jar of air is what shows the sort of benzene levels and all the nasty stuff that they
yeah.
were able to observe, right? And the argument is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the argument from the people writing the report said, oh, well, once the compressor plant is built, the air will be no worse than it is now. Right? Is that a fair way to say it? Right? There's benzene, there's all kinds of nasty
yeah.
junk in there, but it's not going to get worse. So go ahead and build a compressor
right,
plant.
Because the only compressor, you know, this will be the world's first compressor that doesn't emit any chemicals.
Right.
I mean, come on. Yeah. No, I mean, this health impact assessment was terrible.
Uh-huh.
And it was used as a basis to hand the air quality permit to Enbridge.
So then recently, the other twist of this fascinating story, there's so many, as you say, there's so many aspects to this. It's like one of these big novels, Shogun or Taipei, or one of these
yeah.
sort of sprawling novels,
oh.
right? they took a couple of these canisters of air, somebody did, and they shipped them off to a lab in Rhode Island, right?
Mm-hmm. DEP did this.
The lab in Rhode Island analyzed it and found some new junk, that some new toxic chemicals that was not in the original report. And when that data got back to the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection, they did not include that new data of additional carcinogens into the health impact assessment. Is that true?
Yeah, that's true. There's a really great investigative reporter named Itai Vardy, and he writes for a bunch of different outlets, primarily DSmog blog, online only. And he was able to find, through Freedom of Information Act, the data that told us not only did DEP do testing, extra testing that they didn't tell anybody about, that testing showed elevated, consistently elevated levels of something. I don't even know how to call it, but it's like
1.3 butadiene or something.
Butadiene, right? That's it. And a very short, funny side story is I work with somebody, and in her previous career, she understood what these chemicals were. When I showed it to her, she's like, "Oh crap!" And I went, "What?" And she's like, "Oh God, that's really bad stuff."
Really. And so, just to be, this is like right now. This is even before the compressor plant is built, right?
Yeah.
So this is just the baseline against which the compressor plant would be adding more noxious things to the air.
Yeah.
Right.
There are generational cancers already existing in generational, and I mean like grandmothers, mothers, kids, grandkids with these highly unusual or, you know, really just, you know, unusual for the age that these people get this stuff and die, or just unusual with the types of diseases that show up. It is already toxic there, and the DEP has never placed a permanent air monitoring station in the Four River area. Despite many people over multiple years asking for such a thing to be placed there.
I mean, to me, it raises the whole question of, you know, let's forget about the compressor station. There ought to be some effort to clean up the air in the existing air, right? Not
that,
even mentioned the fact that.
Yeah, nobody, like everybody in the, when I say nobody, clearly Governor Baker's administration isn't interested in, I mean, that would even be a great distractionary tactic to say, wow, okay, yeah, this does seem to be maybe, you know, like, hey, let's make some efforts and let's put, even just to pretend to be, I don't know.
It is
criminal that there's not a permanent air monitoring station in the Four River Basin.
Okay, so there's again, so many. Mm-hmm. So what we've talked through is we've got the compressor station, which is bad on climate change, global warming, infrastructure grounds, right? Because it's going to be there for decades, this compressor plant, if it's built. The compressor plant sets a terrible precedent because it will then be used to justify compressor plants in other urban areas. So it's bad on that front. And it's bad particularly just immediately for the health of the people in Weymouth. I mean, it's a bad deal on three different counts.
And then devastate the other area.
And then we have, flowing out of that, we have this health impact assessment, which has strange machinations behind it where all the data is not clearly presented. We have the former Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs getting for what all the world looks like a sweetheart job at the very contractors that are trying to, the people that are doing the evaluation of the site. And then, lastly, we have a thing coming up on May 15th, right, which is a hearing. So tell me, what is that hearing, and what's the controversy around the hearing?
Well, I have never been to one of these hearings before, and I'm very much looking forward to it. It's on May 15th, 9 a.m., at DEP's Boston offices.
I'll put a link in the blog
post. Yeah. Well, there's no link to be had because DEP has not put it up on their public calendar.
Oh, really?
And, you know, DEP, these hearings seem to live in a gray area between, it's not a judicial proceeding, but it also seems to not be an open meeting, but there's something in between. So, actually, I'm still trying to figure that out.
What's the hearing about?
The hearing is basically the town of Weymouth and Four River residents against the compressor station challenging the issuance of the air permit. Here's the thing that I never understood until recently, because I've just not been involved in as granular a level as Frax is involved.
Frax being the Friends
Four
of the
River
Four
res
River
Four
against the.
River residents against the
Okay.
compressor station.
So that, and no Weymouth Compressor is the website. Again, I'll put up a link, but people can
Yeah,
find
no
this. There's a lot of good
compressor.com.
lot of good
Yeah.
information there. You should check out the video on the blowdown. I looked at it, and it's pretty
Oh,
impressive.
yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's insane. So
The hearing is, yep.
DEP issues an air permit. It gets challenged. It gets appealed. DEP then holds a hearing. DEP decides if DEP made
To
the
do
right decision
oh, that's got to go well.
in issuing the wetlands permit, let's say, or the waterways permit and the air permit. And yeah, I mean, shocker, DEP finds for itself.
Most of the time, I bet. So now it's our belief that this thing is at least semi-public. And to the extent that this hearing on May 15th, somewhere in downtown Boston, somewhere between Boston Common and the Old North Church, or I mean, somewhere downtown
Yeah,
Boston, there's going to
you
be a
know where
hearing.
the corner mall or whatever the food court is? It is literally in that building just on the second floor.
Oh, really? Okay, this is down just down from the Common, there, right down near the Park
Yeah.
Street Station.
It
Okay.
is Downtown Crossing, exactly.
So somewhere, so in down there will be a what we think is a public hearing to talk about this, the decisions in the air quality permit, and it's a leverage point for activists to try to make their objections known, right? So the more people that know about this and are aware that it's happening is a good thing, I would think, right?
Well, yes, there's definitely a big push considering all of the weird stuff that's been swirling around this, the unethical stuff that's been going on and the lying and the hiding things and this and that. But it is almost like a trial, but it really isn't. It's very strange because, you know, Brax's lawyer, Mike Hayden, is going to be questioning Enbridge's witnesses, right? And then, you know, I think it's Mintz Levin who represents Enbridge. They're going to be questioning our, I say our, I just mean like Weymouth, the Four Rivers expert witnesses. Well, all the testimony has been given to each other, like, so they all know what everybody's going to say, but then they're just going to question. And then you've got the DEP employee, I think it's Jane Rothschild, and I can't remember what her title is, deciding who to believe. And I find it, maybe miracles can happen, but I'm pretty sure she's going to be like, yeah, you know what? DEP made a good decision. We're fine. We're fine with that air permit. No problem. But guess what? We're going to be able, for the first time, well, because I pushed and pushed and asked, record
Oh,
audio
really?
and
Really?
video.
Really?
Yeah,
Really?
because if not, I've heard snippets of what has happened in previous hearings and how unbelievably like terrible the Enbridge's witnesses are, how lame their defense is, and I have to see it. I'm gonna see it for myself, and I'm gonna make sure everybody else can hear it and see it.
Oh my goodness. Well, so
It's a lot.
this is like I'm all pumped up. This is a dramatic thing.
Yes.
But please, I will I hope that you can come back after May 15th and tell us
Oh
the
yeah.
story about what happened. But I think we gotta let me do this. Let me read the closing statement that I usually read. What I will do is I'll put up links to most of what we've discussed. In particular, the No Weymouth Compressor link at the blog is massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find this podcast on our Facebook page at /massclimateaction. You can listen to us directly on your smartphone using Stitcher, Podbean, all the typical podcast distribution apps, and of course on Apple Podcasts. If you want, please send a suggestion, an idea, a comment, a complaint to podcast@massclimateaction.net. We read every single letter that comes in. So we'll close the way we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investments, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So, Andrew, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks everyone for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.